You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. This is another episode of the Locked On Ravens podcast. We're recording this Labor Day evening, so after the 53-man roster has been kind of trimmed down, after the practice squad has happened, and as we kind of really know what this team is about. I'm, as always, Matthew Stevens. You can catch me on Twitter at MatthewS_NFL. And my co-host, as always, is Jacob Troxel, who you can catch at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3 on Twitter. And you can always catch us as a podcast at Locked On Ravens on Twitter. Really good show that we have for you. Again, we're going to go ahead and go over the 53-man roster, or at least the cuts that were made. Talk to you about what we liked, what we didn't like. We're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the strengths this team has going into 2018 and the weaknesses this team has going into 2018. Really awesome stuff. Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Now that we're in a regular season week, I am pretty pumped up for some football.
Absolutely, me too. Right before we started recording this, we kind of got on together. We talked about our show. That was one thing that we did mention was, we're finally back into real football again. It's no more talk about speculation on who's going to make the team, who isn't, and what's going to happen, and what isn't going to. Now we're just into matchups. We're into X's and O's. We're into games, into live games again, which is always great. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the 53-man roster. What I'll do is I'm just going to read over the guys that were cut. There's 53 guys that are on this roster as of right now, plus 10 practice squad guys. If I read all those, we'd be here forever. So here's the cut list. You got running back Gus Edwards. You have defensive tackle Carl Davis. You have fullback, and I'm going to butcher his name, Christopher Azalea. You have defensive end Miles Humphrey. Defensive end Bronson Kafusi. Tight end Vince Mail. Running back Mark Thompson. Quarterback Josh Woodrum. Wide receiver Brashad Perryman. Tight end Darren Waller. Running back D. Lance Turner, offensive lineman Cameron Lee, wide receiver Andre Lavrone, inside linebacker Albert McClellan, wide receiver slash punt returner Tim White, offensive lineman Maurice Shakir, Randon Cresselius, and Nico Siragusa, as well as cornerback Robertson Daniel, offensive lineman Andrew Donnell, offensive guard Justin Evans, tight end Nick Kaiser, defensive end Christian Locator, defensive back Kai Nakua, cornerback Jackson Porter, wide receiver Devier Posey, and long snapper Trent Siege. Waived injured was Alvin Jones, the linebacker. On injured reserve, and these are some big names, Jaleel Scott, the wide receiver, obviously the fourth-round draft pick this year, Deshaun Elliott, safety, another draft pick. Bennett Jackson, the defensive back. Stanley Jean-Baptiste, the cornerback. Greg Sinnott, again, another draft selection at offensive tackle. All those guys are on injured reserve. There was a trade, as we'd kind of mentioned in a previous episode. Kamale Correa got traded to the Tennessee Titans in exchange for a sixth-round pick in the 2019 NFL draft. And then the big story this week has kind of been Corey Vedvik, the kicker-punter. It looked like the Ravens were going to try to go ahead and trade him. Coach Harbaugh said they did get a bunch of trade offers. However, he had been put into the hospital. Not entirely sure exactly what happened. So I'll just kind of read the police statement and just what Harbaugh had kind of said today on Monday. So TJ Smith from the Baltimore Police Department, the spokesperson, said this morning at approximately 4 a.m., the Baltimore City Fire Department requested the Baltimore Police Department in reference to an injured person. When officers arrived in the area of the 2000 block of Boone Street, they located the victim, identified as Corey Vedvik, suffering from upper body injuries. He was transported to a local hospital for treatment. At this time, we have not confirmed how his injuries occurred. The injuries are not life-threatening. Investigators are conducting follow-ups in reference to this. Now, Harbaugh came out today and said, he's stitched up. He's still really sore. He's trying to remember the best as he can. We're just grateful that he's very thankful for the fact that he's going to be fine. So doesn't sound life-threatening, doesn't sound super serious, but ultimately probably ends his season prematurely, obviously, as they put him on the non-football injury slash reserve list. So he's kind of on the injured reserve list in a large way. So we'll talk about him as things kind of progress there and we actually figure out what's really going on and what happened and stuff like that. So in future episodes, we'll kind of talk about that as we really know more. At this point, that's really just about it. So that's your 53-man roster. The guys that are out, at the very least, you can kind of figure out who ended up making the team based on those cuts. Jacob, what stood out to you? Anything in specific among those cuts or among the guys that are ultimately left?
Well, I think as we got kind of closer to cut day here on Saturday, it felt like, and I know we talked about this in length before, but you know, my gut feeling was Robert Griffin was not going to make the team just because the team had not had a third string quarterback for so many years, for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And it seems like that would have been a lot tougher of a decision to keep him if it weren't for some of these other injuries. And I think that made it a little bit easier for the Ravens to be able to keep Griffin. Some of those guys you mentioned on the IR list were draft picks. If maybe two or three of those guys were still healthy, I think it would have been very tough for them to keep Robert instead of trading him. And I think there was a report, correct me if I'm wrong, but nine teams possibly came to the Ravens with possible draft pick trades. So, you know, yeah, that was definitely an option for them, and they ended up keeping Robert. So I think it was a decision that was helped by the injuries that they had. That was the first thing that really stood out to me, and that was obviously something we were talking about a lot beforehand. And another thing that definitely stood out to me was the wide receivers. They did end up keeping six, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the later segments, but that is definitely going to be the position I'm watching in probably the first 6 to 8 games, especially, just because I want to see how they develop with Flacco and really just how they kind of establish their roles in the offense. I think they have plenty of talented guys, and I think that was one of the tougher decisions that any GM, not just Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome, but I think you put any head coach and GM in their positions there, would have been tough for anybody to cut down that list. So those are really the two things that jumped out to me that I was watching for.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think wide receiver, had really anyone else stood out. You know, Janarian Grant was really the only kind of reserve guy that actually kind of jumped off the screen at you this offseason, both in practice and as well as in game as that punt returner and a little bit as a wide receiver. Had more guys shown up this preseason, that certainly would have made a much larger case for seven guys. You know, in previous years, the Ravens haven't really kept that many guys at wide receiver, they've kept a little bit more than this year, strictly because, well, let's be honest, their top two or three guys, they didn't really have a lot of trust in them, if we're being fair. This year, I think, you know, the combination of John Brown, Michael Crabtree, Willie Snead, and Chris Moore, I think they have a lot of confidence in those four guys to step up and do a lot of things. So in turn, the last two, you know, you can limp along. They're developmental guys. They're probably not going to play a ton outside of maybe some niche roles. And that's ultimately what it seems like is the case with wide receivers. So that's a positive, but it leads you to not a lot of depth. If a guy or two gets hurt, then all of a sudden things are, you're scraping the bottom of your barrel for some talent. And we might see some guys end up getting, you know, added to the team if that were to ever happen. The other big thing for me, offensive line, was kind of something that I had been watching at cuts to see who was going to go ahead and make it. Nico Siragusa, out. Greg Sinnott put on injured reserve, which, you know, we kind of half expected, kind of half didn't. We're not entirely sure what was happening with his foot. You know, Bozeman makes it, but ultimately he didn't look great this preseason. They kind of shoved him out there at guard in the last game in an effort to try to get him maybe some more meaningful snaps and see if he can't be versatile. So I'm not super thrilled with the depth Baltimore has at the offensive line positions. I would not be too shocked if we see something happen in the coming days and see if they can't go ahead and maybe bolster that offensive line depth, either through somebody that was cut, a mid-round pick that just didn't pan out for another team, which Baltimore's seen a little bit of this over the past few years, or you go ahead and make a trade, which is something they've done over the last few years they've tried to do. So those are kind of my big standouts as of right now. I think everything else we really expected.
Yeah, nothing too shocking defensively. Definitely, I mean, this has always been the way the Ravens have been. They've always had a consistent defense that you can rely on. They've pretty much been top five, top seven in defensive rank in terms of yards since the inception of the franchise. Last year was an exception. They were 12th. The previous 3 years, they were 7th, 8th, and 8th. So, but, you know, they still have plenty of guys returning. And part of what we went over, if you missed our defensive look into the 53-man roster, we talked a little bit about the pass rush and some of the veterans returning. So definitely this preseason was definitely not one that was too defensive focused. A lot of changes along the offense, and those were definitely some more of the positions that were of note.
Yeah, and to go back to Robert Griffin III, who obviously made this team, we kind of mentioned it heading into that game with the Redskins and even coming out of that game against the Redskins. Griffin's job was not on Griffin any longer. He did enough this preseason, both in camp and in games, to really warrant a spot on a roster. The big issue was, would the Ravens feel confident putting Lamar Jackson back there as your second quarterback in case Joe were to get hurt? Is he the only guy that's there, or do they kind of see something happening? Obviously, I think they kept him, so they see that Jackson might not necessarily be ready for that. But I also think it's, and this is the more important part in my opinion, is they might think they have a real shot at a deep playoff run, and losing Flacco for a game or two, they want a veteran in there that they know can manage the game, that they know won't make mistakes, that they know can't be just kind of forced into dumb decisions like a rookie can. And maybe they can limp through a little bit better. Yet I don't think you keep three quarterbacks on this team if they are maybe a little bit more wishy-washy about winning or a little bit more concerned or less concerned about trying to go ahead and make a serious playoff run. So interesting stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, if they don't make the playoffs this year, that would be the first time since they started the franchise back in 1996, the first 4 years they didn't make the playoffs. And then the first year they made the playoffs in 2000, they won the Super Bowl. So if they don't make the playoffs this year, that would be the longest streak since the franchise was started. So, yeah, this is definitely a year where, like you said, they're going to make sure they have the depth necessary to make a deep playoff run. And the Ravens more or less have always done that. And you look at how they won their last Super Bowl in 2012, they were a 10-6 team. They were not, they did win the division, but they were not a team that was, 14-2 or 13-3 or something. They've made some noise in the playoffs by just kind of squeaking in at, 10-6, 11-5, same way the New York Giants did. I believe they were 9-7 one of the years they won a Super Bowl. So, you get into the playoffs and the Ravens are a team that no one wants to face, and it's appropriate. The team should feel that way because this is a very reliable franchise that has proved itself, and Flacco has certainly proved himself on the road in playoff games. So, I'm sure we'll be talking more about the Ravens in the playoffs and potential future projections later this week, but we'll stick to the strengths and weaknesses that the team has in this episode.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking a little about winning and losing, now that we're into the regular season, people are starting to get more into betting again. And the preseason, not so much. Regular season is definitely when things start to happen. If you don't know exactly where to bet, I've got a spot for you. We're talking about MyBookie. So MyBookie.com, they are a great spot Now, you got to remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to go with my bookie. So trust me, guys, this is your best bet. I love that pun. This season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. So basically all they are is you go on there, you say, I think the Ravens are going to win, which they are in week one. I think that's pretty clear. You go, I'm putting money down on them. You see the odds. You check it out. You put money out. When you win, they pay. It's as simple as that. Now, we're going to do you a little bit of a favor here. You join now using our promo code, and MyBookie is going to match your deposit dollar for dollar. So you put in $50, you put in $100, they're going to match you 100% on that one, which is huge. It's like a good 401k at a business or at a company you're at. You know, they're hooking you up for the long term, guys. So use our promo code. It's Locked On, LockedOn. That's Locked On at mybookie.com. And they'll go ahead and match you dollar for dollar for everything that you go ahead and deposit initially. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. MyBookie.com. Again, that promo code is Locked On, LockedOn. Also want to do a quick shout out to our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful college program that we've got going on here. The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. So coming this week, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we've already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. So find your favorite college shows on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, or go to Spotify. And quick shout out to us as well. We're the Locked On Ravens podcast. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts. You can catch us on Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. I've got us set up to automatically download whenever there's a new episode, and we're going to be here 5 days a week, folks. I'm actually blinking my hand, which you can't see because this is simply an audio podcast. But 5 days we're here. So make sure you go ahead and tune into us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Let's get down to the strengths. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of things for this season. We now see what this roster is made of. For the most part, again, there might be some moves coming in the next week or so, but for the most part, we know what this team is going to be. Jacob, what do you see their strengths being in the 2018 season?
One of the things I have here is just, and it's not really a position so much as it is veteran leadership. And you look at this, I mean, just looking at the depth chart, you see guys all over the defense. And this was the case last year a little bit, but now more than ever, I think, especially on the offense, you know, you have guys like Michael Crabtree and Willie Snead, veteran guys at receiver, very proven. They've done, you know, Crabtree, who was in Oakland, you have Willie Snead, who was with New Orleans. So two guys from two different offenses that were proven. And then obviously John Brown, who was in Arizona. So you're getting all these guys who found success in different places. And it's only a matter of time before Joe, you know, really kind of connects with one of them or multiple of them. And, you know, I was talking about filling roles. Crabtree presumably will be the leader in kind of receptions or maybe just touchdowns, I guess, because he's a little bit bigger of a guy. But I just think those three veterans, especially how their roles are going to kind of fill out as the season goes on, will be a huge strength for them because they all have different talents. And then again, just going off what I said about veteran leadership, you know, you have guys, you're getting Yonda back. You're having guys, you have obviously Joe Flacco returning, Alex Collins in his second, full year. He had a full year with the off season with the team now. So he's, you would like to think, I guess a little more, ingrained in the offense. So, obviously Pat Ricard at fullback. I like having a fullback on. I know it's not the normal in the NFL anymore as much, but I think it just does add another element. And the fact that he can play both ways is definitely adds value. And, you know, obviously we talked about these guys again, but Terrell Suggs, you look at every position group, Matt Judon, Brandon Carr, Tony Jefferson, Eric Weddle, all these guys have so much experience and If I have some time, I would love to go through and add up all the years played that these Ravens players have compared to some other teams, because I'm sure they're up there in not necessarily age, but just I guess age too, but veteran leadership, just years of experience and knowledge that all these guys have.
Yeah, you know, to piggyback off of that, you know, you kind of mentioned their age a little bit. Jimmy Kempsey of the Philly Voice actually went ahead and looked at all the rosters throughout the entire league. For the 2018 season, as of right now, the 53-man roster, the Baltimore Ravens have an average age of 26 years old. So that puts them tied for 17th. Now, that's younger than they were last year by, you know, about a half a year. But the difference there was last year they were ranked 25th in the league. 2016, they were ranked 27th in the league in terms of age. So they've gotten significantly younger while also still keeping a lot of that veteran experience. Your you know, Yandas, your Terrell Suggs, your Eric Weddle, Tony Jefferson. There's a core of those older, experienced guys. And we've seen it and we've heard it all off season, especially defensively, with new defensive coordinator Don Martindale. The defensive guys have talked him up extensively for being able to just use their experience, use all those years that they've been doing things, all the times they've seen quarterbacks do this or do that, or offenses go into this position or do this, or, you know, using that experience for good while also having the flexibility of that youth to really come in there and still maintain a good baseline. Baltimore set themselves up very, very nicely, not just for this year, but for the future as well. When you look at their 53-man roster, there's a lot of guys that are going to get some snaps this year that are going to eventually be, you know, or hopefully should be, big contributors in a year or two. And that's huge. I mean, we've seen it with their cornerback situation. Guys that are getting snaps 5 years ago are now all of a sudden expected to make a big impact this year. Tavon Young, for a good instance. Maurice Kennedy is another one. Those guys now have that experience along with that youth. It's a huge positive. Baltimore's done a lot of really good things there. But I'll agree with you on the wide receiver position, you know, as well as the starting offensive line. I like what Baltimore's done across the board. I think they're significantly stronger than they were last year, and they were a pretty strong team last year too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you had those numbers right there for you. That was perfect. Now, did that include was that the 53-man roster that they averaged everything out? Or is that just, I guess, the full, like, 90-man
with 53.
All the signings? Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
53. Nice. Jimmy Kempsey, every year, if you don't go ahead and follow his stuff, it's phillyvoice.com. Every year at 53-man roster cutdown, he goes through every single roster and really kind of digs them up at the final cutdown. Again, things change slightly, but seriously impressive and an amazing amount of work that goes into that, I know firsthand. So definitely make sure you check out his stuff every year around this time. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about something else. We're going to go ahead and do fantasy football. So fantasy football, it is crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. So Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, the hottest roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. And if you've ever played fantasy football before, you know one guy going down can end your season. So make sure you tune in there. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your fantasy league. Let's go ahead and talk a little about the weaknesses. I'll let you start on this one, Jacob. Where do you think is the biggest weakness on this team going into the 2018 season?
So I don't know, again, hopefully this isn't a cop-out, but I don't know if it's any one position group. I think it's more of just something I want to see. And that is communication and just kind of team chemistry, I guess, because, and we've talked again a little bit about this, but the Jimmy Smith absence for four games, I want to see how that is going to affect how the secondary communicates. Obviously, we've seen in the past the defense has not been quite the same with him out of the lineup. And I want to see if they can make adjustments to that. You know, they've been through a couple games without him. They know that they've struggled at certain points without him. How are they going to change that? They've had a full offseason now where they've had to kind of gel, and it's not like something is changing in the middle of the season for them. Sometimes it's almost tougher to adjust to an injury in the middle of the season versus knowing weeks in advance before the season starts, before you game plan, before you do all this work, that we're not going to have somebody in the lineup. So I want to see how, especially, you know, if we get some five wide receiver sets and the Ravens have to counter that, you know, with Anthony Averett out on the field, how are Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle going to kind of rally these guys together? And not all of these guys are new to the team. I mean, Brandon Carr, Marlon Humphrey, those guys have obviously been here. But just the unit as a whole, I just want to see how they adjust without Jimmy Smith those first four games. And a little bit of that same kind of cohesiveness I want to see on the opposite end, on the offense with the wide receivers and Flacco. I know I just said that the diversity in the offense is going to be a strength, and it is. You have plenty of talented guys, and behind them, Jordan Lasley, Janarian Grant, two younger guys that can help fill some sort of role as the season goes on. But we still haven't seen Joe Flacco in four full quarters with those three guys yet. We have seen some good moments in the preseason where he's been able to connect with them. He connected with Hayden Hurst a few times as well, the tight end that'll miss a couple games. So that injury in itself, again, putting a little bit more stress on how he's going to gel and connect with these receivers. And that was one of the things going into last year where Joe missed the entire preseason. He just wasn't able to work with his guys as much. And I think he kind of admitted that towards the, I believe it was maybe the middle of the end of the season, like, you know, yeah, that said something along the lines of, yeah, that definitely had an effect on just being able to get into the groove of things. So I want to see how everyone kind of adjusts, because there are going to be some uncomfortable situations where guys are going to have to figure things out a little bit on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And in addition to the Jimmy Smith suspension, you know, you have Hayden Hurst, the tight end, rookie tight end. He's going to be, at the very least, week to week to start this season with that stress fracture in his foot. You have defensive tackle Willie Henry, who's going to be also week to week with that hernia surgery that he had. In addition to that, Kenny Young, didn't really get any clarification on him today outside of, it doesn't appear to be season ending, but he's day to day, could turn into week to week, as we've always seen with those knee injuries. So, you know, there's a lot of guys who are expected to be major contributors that are already dinged up to start this season. Baltimore has not done terribly well with injury to start their season. But that being said, and I'll go to bat for this every single time, and believe me, I've gotten made fun of it enough, but Baltimore, I think, has one of the most stacked rosters in the league. I don't necessarily mean just the starters or anything like that. There's certainly other teams around the league that are better up front in a bunch of other different ways. I mean depth-wise. I mean, Baltimore has, especially defensively, and we've seen this year in, year out, they've got a bunch of guys that are in that second, third, fourth string role who honestly can step up and maybe not be a shutdown corner or, you know, a major run-stopping linebacker, but is certainly better than a lot of the depth that is out there across this league. And part of that has been because of injuries on that front. So I've said it numerous times. I'll say it again. I think Baltimore still has one of the most stacked rosters in this entire league. And to kind of help make that point a little bit more obvious, the Los Angeles Rams are one of the teams that is often pointed at as the best team with the deepest roster. Baltimore spanked them for four straight quarters. Like, it wasn't close. And that's depth for depth. You know, Baltimore, I just think, is better deeper down, so they can handle some of those injuries a little bit more. But, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, Baltimore invested a lot of money and a lot of draft equity in some of these guys, you know, Hayden Hurst especially. They need a tight end who can go ahead and do what Hayden Hurst does. Obviously, they brought him in for that role. Max Williams, Nick Boyle clearly didn't cut it previously. Mark Andrews, we've seen him infrequently, but he's not quite ready to do it. You know, let's see. I want to see those guys out there. I want to see how well Baltimore can kind of get around that. And maybe if we see some guys start stepping up, Max Williams, you know, being kind of at the center of my Pro Bowl on that one, as well as defensively. You know, I want to see if maybe Chris Wormley can go ahead and step up. Patrick Ricard can step up. Zach Zeiler, if he can go ahead and step up with Willie Henry potentially missing a few games as well. So that I think will be the story of the first 4 weeks, is how can the Ravens overcome Jimmy Smith and the handful of already kind of important injuries they have.
Yeah, just going back to that, you know, I know it was preseason, but, you know, you still had the depth of pretty much, I think it was pretty much every position that the Ravens had showed promise against the Ravens. And I know some, the Rams. And I know some of those guys were guys that ultimately didn't make the team, but you know, you did have some guys kind of pop up and make some plays against the Rams. So, and for what it's worth too, I think the Ravens receivers talent wise can at least keep up with the guys the Rams have. You know, you do have some young guys in there. Cooper Kupp, I think Brandon Cooks is still only 24. But I think John Brown, if he stays healthy, Crabtree's a big physical guy, and Snead can do a lot of different things. So it's a fair comparison, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, one thing that I noticed when the practice squad started coming out, which I'll read off here in just a second, Baltimore kept a lot of their guys. They let them go, but they brought them right back to put them on the practice squad. So Christopher Azalea, the fullback, the international guy they had, he's on there. Cyrus Jones, they got from, you know, it's a cornerback from the former New England Patriot cornerback. But Nico Siragusa, Randon Chrisellius, Tim White, DeLance Turner, Gus Edwards, Darren Waller, Miles Humphrey, Robertson Daniel, and Christian Locator. All Ravens guys, all guys we saw in that final game. Cyrus Jones is the only new player out of 10 that Baltimore didn't keep. That's impressive. I think that says a lot about their depth and the guys that they like. They like them enough to keep them around on their practice squad versus we've seen a lot of other teams, the Browns, snatch up a lot of other players from around the league. Well, that's because you're not good enough at drafting to keep your own guys any longer. They suck. So, I think that's a huge bonus for Baltimore, and it says a lot about their depth across the board. So, I'm pretty excited for this season. I'm excited for every season, and the last few they've let me down. So, you know, take what I'm saying here with a grain of salt on that one. But I think Baltimore has a legitimate chance to go ahead and make a strong playoff run. And then once, like we'd mentioned before, once they get into the playoffs, they are a dangerous team because of their defense. Great at taking the ball away, kind of built to beat up on Pittsburgh and New England, which is something that really none of the AFC is really built to do. So, you know, exciting year, exciting to be back in football, exciting to be talking about real rosters again and not guys who just aren't going to be in the NFL as of next week. Exciting, man. We're back in that time of real football again.
Absolutely. And we'll, like I said earlier, we'll look forward to the regular season a little bit more as the week progresses. Talk a little bit about that first matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Talk a little AFC North Division and maybe just kind of project where things are going.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly right. So, again, make sure that you go ahead and tune into us. We are Locked On Ravens, the Locked On Ravens podcast. You can catch us 5 days a week. And now that we're kind of into the regular season and we're really getting into the swing of this, you will actually catch us 5 days a week now. So as we kind of start going through stuff, we'll start bringing you expert opinions from other teams, as well as the X's and O's from the Baltimore Ravens and any breaking news that they have. 5 days a week. Again, you can catch us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens. You can catch me, I'm Matthew Stevens. You can catch me at Matthew S underscore NFL. And Jacob, you can catch at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. So again, make sure that you go ahead and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, really wherever you go ahead and tune into your podcasts. Undoubtedly, we are there. I'm Matthew, that's Jacob, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.